Okay. So we left lists behind because they are generally a linear data structure. Insert, find, remove, they're all linear operations. And so we moved on to binary trees and binary search trees. But what is the one main problem that binary search trees have? Yes. So they're still linear, and not just in the worst case, but in a very common case. Because data is often kept in sorted order. Like, how often do you come across a sorted list? Pretty often. And so whenever that happens, you get basically a linked list down the right or the left subtree line, resulting in a linear runtime. And this is not good. And so that brings us to AVL trees. I think Bryce may have started this a little bit on Wednesday. So AVL trees are a new type of tree. The idea is that we're going to insert into a binary search tree and then rebalance the tree every time. So it can never get too imbalanced. Okay, I'm gonna show y'all an animation tool. I think both of these are broken, and so I found a new one. Yeah, this one's, and this one's also broken. So I'm going to be at this website, which is visualgo.net/bn/bsd. Here we have an AVL tree. You'll notice, like, this is the binary search tree. The AVL tree is more balanced, but it's not perfectly balanced. And we can do some insertions. And we're gonna see what happens when things get inserted into the tree. And this is very slow. I'm really sad that the app from last semester and the one we've been using for like years doesn't work anymore. You're gonna see that the tree is fixing itself as it's doing these insertions. Because the app from last year had sound effects, and this one doesn't. A friend told me that I could just squeak at the appropriate moments, but I didn't want to do that, so. Okay, so we just inserted like six things maybe into an AVL tree, and we saw that the AVL tree would find the appropriate spot according to the ordering property of a binary search tree, and it would insert it there, and then it would fix itself. And we're gonna see, we're gonna talk about how the AVL tree does this like throughout the rest of today. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention is that Rice has slides on trees that are posted in the repo. I'm just using Florian's slides because I'm more familiar with them and I didn't want to have to prepare two different lectures for this section and the 1 p.m. section. So our motivation with AVL trees is to guarantee a logarithmic running time on find, insert, and remove. And like I already said, the idea is to keep the tree balanced after every operation. And so AVL trees are that solution, and it was named after its creators. So an AVL tree is a valid binary search tree. And that means it has the same ordering property as binary search trees. For every node, everything in the right subtree is going to be greater than everything in its left subtree. But it also has this additional structure property. And this says that for every node on the tree, the height of the left and right subtrees differ by at most one. And this is going to be the important thing for how we keep an AVL tree balanced and running at log n time. So this is a valid AVL tree. If you took the time to go through every node and apply that structure property, you would soon figure out that for every node, the right and left subtrees differ by at most one. Yeah. So we're going to define the idea of a balance factor. So in a normal binary search tree, a node is going to hold the data, something that's able to be ordered, because that's important for a tree. We usually use ints because it renders nicely on the slides. It's going to have a left and right child pointer, maybe a parent node pointer, but probably not, because that takes up more space. You don't really need it. And in an AVL tree, we're also going to have a balance factor. And that's just the height of the right subtree minus the height of the left subtree. We could also do left minus right, but we chose right minus left to be we just made that executive decision and are going to be consistent doing it the same way in this class. You should also probably do it right minus left if, when you're doing like the worksheet or whatever. And the reason we store it in the node is because this could be computed on the fly, but that kind of defeats the point of using an AVL tree for its runtime in the first place. Okay, actually, I'm going to go back to this AVL tree and show you that for any node, we can calculate the bounce factor, and it's only going to be negative 1, 0, or 1. Because remember the structure property, it can, the right and left subtrees cannot differ by more than 1. And so if we took any node, like if we took 5 and we calculated the height of the right subtree, that's 3, because we count the number of edges. The height of the left subtree is 2, 3 minus 2 is 1, so that one's okay. We could do that for also something like 4. The height of the right subtree is 0, height of the left subtree is 1. 0 minus 1 is negative 1, so that's also okay. Like I said before, this is a valid AVL tree. So if a node has a bounce factor of 0, that means that it's balanced. If it has a bounce factor of 1, that means the right subtree is 1 longer than the left subtree. It's a little imbalanced, but it's okay because we still are adhering to our structure property. If it's a balance factor of negative 1, that means the left subtree is 1 longer than the right subtree. But if we ever get a balance factor of 2 or negative 2, that means that we're going to have to fix the tree. And we're going to talk about how to do that in just a second. Are we ever going to hit 3 or negative 3? No? Why not? Yeah?
When it reaches negative 2 or 2, it'll balance.
Right. So whenever we reach 2 or negative 2, we're going to fix that imbalance, which is presumably going to bring the tree back into balance. So it's going to have a balance factor of negative 1, 0, or 1. And every time we do insertion, it could only modify the balance factor by 1. So we don't do a bunch of inserts and then a bunch of fixing. We fix the tree after every insert. This is the same AVL tree, except with balance factors. You can see that they are all negative 1, 0, or 1 because it's a valid AVL tree. And again, the bounce factor is just the right subtree minus the left subtree. This is not an AVL tree. Anyone want to tell me why? Could it be the nodes in red, maybe? If you'll see the nodes in red, none of them are balanced. They all have a balance factor that's greater than 1, well, the absolute value of which is greater than 1. So we have plus 2, negative 3, and negative 2. So the tree is not balanced, and it's not a valid AVL tree. So let's talk about some of the operations on an AVL tree. The find is easy. It's just the same as a binary search tree. So you have a value. If the value is equal to the current node, then celebrate. If it's less than the current node, recurse on the left subtree. If it's greater than the current node, then recurse on the right subtree. It's the exact same as a BSD. For insert, it's like a binary search tree, but then you work your way back up the tree, fixing it as you go, like checking for invalid balance factors and fixing those as you go via a series of rotations that we're going to see in a minute. And anytime we travel up or down the tree, we get a runtime of d, where d is the depth of the node that we just inserted. And d is bound by h, because that's the height of the tree. And for a binary search tree, the height of the tree was bound by n, the number of nodes. But for an AVL tree, we're going to see that the maximum height of an n-node AVL tree is bounded by log n. So anytime we perform an operation like insert or delete, after we do the operation, we move back up to the root and we update the balance factors as we go. We only need to adjust the nodes that were in that path to the inserted node because those are the only ones who had their subtrees altered. And like I said before, we do the tree rotations when the balance factor is 2 or negative 2. How many times do we fix the tree? We kind of talked about this before, but any single insert will only modify the balance factor by 1. And every time we find an imbalance, we find the deepest node that has an imbalance, So the first one we get to when we're working our way back up, and we fix that one, and as soon as we fix that one, then everything above it is balanced also. So we only need to look at the bottom two unbalanced nodes. Okay, for an AVL tree insert, there are four cases of where the insertion could happen. The left subtree of the left child, and the right subtree of the left child, and the left subtree of the right child, or the right subtree of the right child. And it's okay if that doesn't make sense yet. We're going to get to all four of these cases. Really, it's just two cases, a single rotation, double rotation. Yes?
Could you slow down just a little bit?
Sure. Is there anything you'd like me to repeat?
No, it's okay. Just like, go fast.
Okay. Well, this slide is going fast because you don't need to understand what this means yet. It'll make a lot more sense once we go into cases 1 and 4 and 2 and 3, where we're going to see exactly how you perform these rotations. So, first we're going to look at cases 1 and 4. So this is a little tree. We just inserted node 1, which is in blue. And we're going to travel back up the tree, looking at the balance factors as we go. So from 1, we travel to node 2. It has a balance factor of negative 1, so that's okay. We travel up to node 3, and it has a balance factor of negative 2, and that's not okay, which means we have to fix something. And notice how from, we're going to call 3 the parent node, because it's the first imbalanced node that we found. And from this parent's node's point of view, the insertion happened in its left child's left child. And so this is the left case. Like, it's case 1 up here. Left subtree of the left child of X. Why isn't this mouse moving? I don't know what I did. There we go. It's the left subtree of the left child of X. And so we're going to take nodes 2 and 3, and we're going to rotate them to the right. So 2 goes up, and 3 goes down. And 3 becomes the right child of 2. And we're going to update the balance factors. And you can see in the right picture that the balance factors are now balanced. Like, it's a valid AVL tree again. Mm-hmm. And we can show this actually in the animation tool that we used. First, I have to remove all the nodes. Okay, so we have two nodes in our tree. I'm going to insert 1, and it's going to try to insert in 3's left subtree. And as soon as it does that, it's going to travel back up the tree, looking at the balance factors, and it's going to rotate the tree right, because the tree is out of balance. And I'm going to slow this down a little bit. Okay. So I'm going to insert 1. It goes to the left child of 3 and inserts itself there. Then it travels back up the tree. Looking at the balance factors, it finds that 8 is unbalanced. And so it takes 3 and 8, and it rotates them to the right. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Do you have to check the balance factors again after you rotate it?
After you rotate it, you know that the balance factor is balanced. Because like once you fix the lowest imbalance, it fixes the whole tree, which we kind of talked about like in the last slide-ish. Like, does that make sense though? Okay. So, this tree was heavy on the left, so we rotated it right. And this is the left case, like I said before. So if we look at these four cases again, it was number 1, left subtree of the left child, which was case 1, which was we perform a single rotation. Okay. So the single left rotation is the same as the single right rotation, except in the opposite direction. So we inserted 3. We look back up and find that node 1 is imbalanced. And then we rotate nodes 2 and 1 to the left. So node 2 moves up, node 1 moves down. It's the same thing as the single right rotation. So if you can understand the single right rotation, you also understand the single left rotation. It's just mirrored. I want to mention a side effect of tree rotations. And that is that in a tree rotation, at least one node moves up and at least one node moves down. And this is relevant because we use rotations to move nodes up and down a tree. And when we look at splay trees in like maybe 2 lectures, this will become very relevant. This is a more complicated case of the single right rotation. So we're inserting node 1, which is in red. So we make our way back up the tree looking at the balance factors. So we look at node 2, it has a balance factor of negative 1, that's okay. We look at node 3, it has a balance factor also of negative 1, and that's okay. We look at node 5, and it has a balance factor of negative 2, and so we need to fix that imbalance. And so what we need to do is rotate 3 and 5 to the right, like in this picture. But this time, node 3 has a right child. And where do we put it if we're rotating 5 to the right and making it 3's right child? It turns out that we're going to bring 4, which was originally 3, the child, 3's right child, and we're going to make it the left child of the parent, which was 5. And as you can see, everything is still in order. Like the BST ordering property is still held. This is the way that we're going to do single rotations. And so you can see that the tree on the right is a balanced AVL tree. This is a little bit more general case of the AVL single right rotation. So we just inserted something into X, which is over here. We propagate back up the tree, looking at the balance factors. A is imbalanced. Why? Because its left subtree is height h plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, so h plus 3, because we're counting the edges that brought us to x. And then its right subtree is h plus 1, right? So h plus 1 minus h plus 3 is negative 2. A is imbalanced. And so we rotate B and A to the right. A becomes B's child. X, which was the left child of B, still is the left subchild of B. Z, which was the right child of A, still is the right child of A. But Y has switched parents, right? So it was B's right child, now it's A's left child. And if we look at this inequality, well, according to the BST ordering property, we know that everything in X is less than B, which is less than everything in Y, which is less than everything in A, which is less than everything in Z. And if you look at these two pictures, you can see that this inequality down here still holds for both of them. And this is a good thing, right? Because like, if we make a change to the tree, if we do a rotation on it, we don't want the whole structure of the tree to change. Well, I guess the structure of the tree is changing, but like, it's still a valid AVL tree. It still adheres to the BST ordering property. So. Yeah?
Can you repeat the steps of the rotation in the previous slide?
Sure. So we inserted something into X, okay? And we're propagating our way back up the tree, and we're checking to see which node is imbalanced, if there is an imbalance. B is fine, because the subtrees differ by only 1. A is not fine, because the left subtree is height h plus 3, and the right subtree is height h plus 1. And h plus 1 minus h plus 3 is negative 2. And so that means that we have to rotate B and A to the right. So B comes up here, and A goes down and becomes B's child. The left child of B stays the same. The right child of A stays the same. But Y, which was the right child of B, becomes A's left child. Because like B already has a right child now. Y was bumped out of the way. A no longer has a left child because it was pointing at B. And so we can just put it right under A. Like in code or something?
Yeah.
We're gonna go over that later. Okay. This is is a nice picture of the right and left rotations. Don't look at the letters in the nodes because it's not showing you like the order of the AVL trees. It's just showing you the rotations. So at this point, we've seen single left and right rotations, and we're gonna see that every other rotation is based on this. So if we go back to our four cases, now we've learned case one, left subtree of the left child, and case four, right subtree of the right child. So we know how to perform single rotations, which just leaves us with cases two and three. So we have a new tree, which is imbalanced, right? Because if you look at A, its right subtree is of height h plus 1, its left subtree is of height h plus 3. And so we need to perform a rotation. And the first thing we're going to try to do is attempt a single rotation. So we're going to try to rotate this to the right. And so B moves up, A moves down, X and Z stay the same, and Y just switches allegiances. But it turns out that doesn't fix the problem, right? Because look, the right subtree is still height h plus 3, and the left subtree is height h plus 1. H plus 3 minus h plus 1 is 2, which means that this is still not a valid AVL tree. So we're going to need to do a double rotation. And a double rotation is just two single rotations. It's nothing fancy. If you master the single rotations and you can just remember like which order to perform them for a double rotation, then you'll be good. So we're gonna do two single rotations, one in one direction for the child and one in the opposite direction for the parent. So node 5 was just inserted. And so we're gonna look back up the tree looking for an imbalance. So we move back up to 6. 6 is okay, balance factor of negative 1. We move back up to 4. 4 is also okay. It has a balance factor of 1, okay? We move up to 8. 8 is not balanced because its right subtree is height 1 and its left subtree is height 3. So it has a balance factor of negative 2, which means we're going to have to perform a rotation. So 8 is the parent right now because it's the lowest imbalanced node. So if we look from the parent's point of view, to get to the insertion, we have to first go left and then go right. So it's in the left child's right subtree. And so this is a left-right rotation. And so first we're going to perform a left rotation on the child and then a right rotation on the parent. This is the same tree. So right now we're performing the left rotation on the child. So 4 was the child. And so we're going to rotate 4 and 6 to the left. So here you can see that 6 moves up and 4 moves down. And that these nodes are still here. And so we performed our left rotation. The tree is still imbalanced because we can move back up the tree and 8 still has a balance factor of negative 2. So just the single left rotation wasn't enough. So we're going to take this tree on the right and it's behind this tree on the left. So we've just performed our single left rotation. Now we need to perform a single right rotation on 8, which is the parent, and 6. And so we move 6 and 8 to the right, 6 moves up, and 8 moves down. And you can see that our final tree is a valid AVL tree. Are there questions on that?
What was why did you have to do, or how did you know you had to do double rotation?
Sure. So if we go back, we can go to this slide. Okay, so we just inserted into something into Y, and then we moved back up the tree looking for an imbalance, and we found the imbalance in A. From A, the insertion happened in its left child's right subtree. And because it wasn't like a left-left case or a right-right case, because it switched directions, we couldn't perform a single rotation. Yeah, and again, from A's point of view, it went left and then right. So we're first going to do a left rotation on the child and then a right rotation on the parent. So this is the before and after of that rotation that we just saw. Eight was imbalanced. We did a left rotation on the child, which is four. So four and six moved to the left. Then we performed a right rotation on the parent. So six and eight moved to the right. So this is the general case of a double rotation. It looks a little bit more complicated than a single rotation. But just do the rotations one at a time. And then you only have to deal with like a part of the tree at the time. So we had something that was inserted into X, okay? And we move back up the tree looking for an imbalance. C is okay, B is okay. A is our parent because it's the first imbalanced node we get to. And so, because from A's point of view, we went first left and then right, first we're gonna perform a left rotation on B and C. And then we're gonna perform a right rotation on A and C. So if you look at these subtrees here, we first perform a rotation, our left rotation on B and C. So that meant that W stayed the same, Y stayed the same, but X switched to be the right child of B. And then we performed our right rotation on C and A. So Z stayed the same and what was the other one? X stayed the same, but Y changed parents because of that, because of what happens when you do a single rotation. Does that make sense? And you can see, you can look at this inequality again. And everything in W is less than everything in B, which is less than everything in X, which is less than everything in C, which is less than everything in Y, which is less than everything in A, which is less than everything in Z, because of the binary search tree ordering property. And this inequality still holds after we do our transformation, which is a good thing, again. First, are there any questions on the double rotation? Okay. So we run into a little bit of a problem with terminology because some people say double left rotation, but what does that mean, left, right, or right, left? And so in this class, we'll call them double left, right, and double right, left. Just to be specific, but you don't necessarily have to remember this terminology. If we asked you to do it on a test, it should be pretty clear which one you're supposed to do. Okay, so for insert, we've seen all four cases now, because we saw the single rotation for cases one and four, and we saw the double rotation for cases two and three. And one and four are just opposites of one another, and two and three are just opposites of one another. Okay, and actually I'm gonna also demo a double rotation in this animation tool. So I'm gonna remove eight so that we can start with one and three. So I'm going to insert two, and it's going to try to insert into one's right child. And then it's going to travel back up the tree. Well, we can just watch it. So it travels down the tree. It inserts into one's right child. It travels back up the tree, looking for an imbalance. It finds an imbalance in three. So it does a left rotation and then a right rotation. And this is kind of nice because you can kind of see what's happening. It's kind of like pseudocode in the right here. So this is a visual representation of all four cases. So we as humans can look at this and say, like, sure, that's a left-left case, or sure, that's a left-right case, because we can see the direction that the pointers are pointing. But a computer doesn't think that way, and so a computer will look at the balance factors to determine which case we're in and which rotation it needs to perform. And so if you look at this left-left case, I can look at the parent, it has a negative balance factor. The child also has a negative balance factor, and that means that we're in the left-left case. Similarly, I can look at the left-right case. The parent has a negative balance factor, and the child has a positive balance factor. And that means we're in the left-right case. So when you implement an AVL tree, this is what you're going to be doing. So if both are negative, it's left-left. If both are positive, it's right-right. If the signs differ, then you're in one of the two double rotation cases. This is a pretty picture from Wikipedia that shows you nice colors and AVL trees. So, what is the runtime of an AVL tree? Well, our goal of an AVL tree was to have a data structure with logarithmic time, and we'll see that we have that for almost all the operations. So, find is logarithmic, because the height of the tree is bound by log n, insert is logarithmic, and remove is logarithmic for the same reasons. Print is linear, because no matter what data structure you have, if you want to print n elements, that means you have to visit n elements. And so it's always going to be big theta of n. Are there questions so far on AVL trees? Yeah?
Is the big O runtime also log n?
So big O is just what it's bounded by. So like, insert could be big O of n squared, or big O of 2 to the n, because of the definition of big O, right? So big theta of insert is log n, which means that it's also big O of n and n squared and n cubed, because it's less than or equal to those things. OK, so I wanted to go over some of the code that you're going to be needing for the post lab. And so there are two things I wanted to do. One is go over the remove method, which we give you in the CPP file right here. And the other is maybe implement a single rotation. Does anyone have any preference on what happens first? No? Isn't given? Okay. So I wanted to implement a single rotation. I'm gonna do this on the chalkboard, so like if anyone wants to take a video of it, that's okay, because it won't show up on the audio recording. So I'm first going to draw a picture of the tree so that we can like visualize what we want to happen in the tree. So we have our parent node. We have our child node. And the insert happened somewhere here. It doesn't necessarily have to be this child, but like somewhere in that subtree. And we also have some pointers that we're going to want to deal with, like the pointer to the parent node, the pointer to its right child, and the pointer to its child's right child. OK? And we want to turn this into a tree that looks like this. We're going to do a single right rotation. So the child is going to move up, and the parent is going to move down. The inserted node is still going to be on the left. And then we still need to deal with this pointer and the pointers for parent. OK, and I'm going to label these pointers so we can keep track of them. So this is 1, 2, 3, and 4. This is 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so you can see here that pointer 2 doesn't change, because it's always going to be pointing to the parent's right subchild, and there it's still pointing to the parent's right subchild, so we don't need to deal with that one. We will need to deal with 4 and 1 and 3. Okay. So I'm going to define a method called rotate right. And this is going to take in a reference to a pointer to a node. Does anyone have any idea why we might do that?
We want to change like the actual pointer.
Right. Yeah, we want to change the actual value of the pointer, not what it's pointing to. Because we're going to call this method, and it's going to be the parent right here. And then later, we're going to want to assign it to be the child. And so we want to change the actual value of the pointer. So the first thing we need to do is grab the child. So I'm going to say node star C equals P arrow left. Okay, so we have our child, which means now we can reassign the parent's left pointer, and we're going to assign it to be pointer 3, because we see that we're going to need to reassign the child's right child to be the parent's left child, like we saw on the slides. Three is going to need to switch allegiances, so we're just going to go ahead and do that right now. So, the parent's left child, we set equal to the child's right child. And this means that we've just freed up the child's pointer. And so now we can set pointer 3, the child's right child pointer, to be equal to the parent. So, C arrow right equals P. Okay. So we have reassigned pointer 3 and we've dealt with pointer 4 also, which just leaves pointer 1. Okay? So our final step of this method is going to be to set P equal to C. And this only works because we've passed in P as a reference to a pointer. Otherwise, this wouldn't actually change the original node. But we might want to update something about P and C also, since we're doing a rotation. And so we're actually going to update the height. And then later, I think in your balance method, you'll update the balance factors. So actually, before we assign P equal to C, I'm going to just move this down a little bit. We're going to update P's height to be the max of its left and right subtrees plus 1. And this H stands for height. And the reason we do that is because like C's height is going to be either the height of its right subtree or the height of its left subtree, whatever is bigger. Plus you have this edge that connects them, okay? And we're gonna do the same thing for C, so it's the same line except you replace the P's with C's. I guess I'll write it out. Are there any questions on the single right rotation? Yeah.
Pointer 2 pointing to?
This is P's right child.
But if it's the right child, wouldn't the tree be balanced?
It's really P's right subtree, okay? So I is just the beginning of another subtree, so we could also have arrows here. So all these arrows are potentially pointing to subtrees. Right now we're just treating them as children, because if you like fix the child, then it'll fix everything, like everything's underneath the child. So like, yes, if there was one node here, then the tree would be balanced, but I'm assuming that we have either more nodes down here or no nodes there or something that is causing the tree to be imbalanced.
Yes,
or it can represent the subtree where you're inserting. So we don't actually change I here, so it doesn't have to be the inserted node. Like in this case where there are just three nodes, then I is the inserted node. If we had like a child for P, a child for C, and stuff like that, then the insert would have to happen farther down in this subtree for an imbalance to occur. Yeah?
I guess that's not what I want to say. What I want to say is I'm confused because we've got P arrow height, right? Like it's a property there, and then inside we've got height of P arrow left, like it's a method.
Right, so it's both things. So the node has a field height, and then there's also a method which just recursively gets the height of that subtree.
But so wouldn't just looking at the field be a lot faster than that?
So the reason that we have to update this is because we just updated the height of the trees. Right?
But we're not changing the height of P left, right? So could we call P left height instead of height?
Except we are changing the height of P left, because previously the child was in P's left subtree, but now it's just pointing to whatever was in the child's right subtree, right?
So do we need to update that as well?
Update what?
If the height of P left has changed, do we need to change that in our method?
If the height of... So P is now pointing to whatever was right here, okay? And so this node is still gonna have a height attribute in it, and that's gonna be like, that's still going to be like, right? But we have to recalculate it for P because
it's- What do we call max of P left height comma P right height and eliminate the recursion?
C left height and then C right height? I think you could.
Okay.
I think you could. I just, yeah.
But we do need a separate method.
So the reason I did it like this was this because the code from the lab did it. I can check whether it would be okay to just eliminate the method altogether. Oh, I guess it's 9:50, so yeah, y'all can leave, I guess. Good luck with the lab. If you have any questions, feel free to come up and ask me afterwards. I will still be checking on the thing you asked. Okay, so the code that I took to use for this was like previous code that was used in this lab. And what it does is it defines a height method which first checks if the node is null, and if it's not, then returns arrow height. So
okay.
You could just do arrow height if the node isn't null.
Yeah. But we have to check, and so putting it in the height method lets us
Not
have to check.
I should have figured out what exactly the height method did before. So sorry about that.